The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
An angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
Yeah.
Oh no, Sharon's been infiltrated by the terrorist group Al Cicada. Oh no.
Oh, honey, I love you. You're funny.
I love you.
Well, this is Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. Sam is ensconced in his bed. He says we've got 30 minutes. Don't go past. That's it. That's all we get.
Yeah, he's been having to wait longer than usual the last few weeks, but there's been much to talk about.
A little bitty, tiny snack before we came down here. And we had our snacks, too, so we should be okay.
Yeah, and thankfully, our snacks didn't have wings. Unlike Sam, the last couple of times he's gone out for... He hunts the wild cicada.
He likes wings.
You know, he's been hunting the terrorist group Al Cicada, a series of black and tan ups. Eliminating the Al Cicada cells one at a time.
Honey, we're going to lose what few audience people we've got.
Yes. Sam, of course, you know, is a black and tan dachshund, hence the joke. Anyway, Bilderberg 2011, taking place as we speak in St. Moritz, Switzerland.
The Swiss.
Yes, the Swiss.
I heard the Swiss are trying to take down Henry Kissinger.
A prominent member of the Swiss Parliament, member of the largest political party there, is called for the arrest.
In many ways, Kissinger is the Bilderberger.
Yeah, he's been at every single one of the meetings, I believe, or at least since he came to power. He's certainly been at every one of the recent meetings. Other prominent members this year, I had a list that broke it down by nation. I don't have that in front of me. I've got an alphabetical list, which isn't really going to help me find the names I want quickly here. Didn't really see any prominent American politicians. There have been some interesting attendees in recent years who later rose to national prominence. I thought after John Edwards attended that he was going to be the Democratic candidate.
It looked that way, didn't it? But
they
fooled us.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to show the tinfoil hat-wearing crowd that Bilderberger doesn't make the kings.
But just a few names on the attendee list from the United States for our U.S. listeners. Bill Gates of Microsoft, thus proving again that what we already knew, that Microsoft is evil. And I should watch that, saying that now, because now that Microsoft has purchased Skype, which we use to connect.
Exactly. They're listening to every word you say.
Yeah. I had a pop-up from Skype show up on the computer just before we started recording today for the very first time. That's the first time. An unwanted pop-up from Skype.
It's asking, advertising.
Yeah. Asking if I wanted a play games on Skype plug-in. How did it get around the Windows Defender? Yeah, because it's coming from
Microsoft. Because it's Windows. Well,
yes,
duh, honey. Could you turn my headphones up just ever so slightly?
Just a hair. Okay.
That's pretty good right there. Thank you.
Okay. So, anyway, Bill Gates will be there. Craig Mundy, who's also the chief technology officer for Microsoft, will be there. Donald Graham, CEO of the Washington Post, showing the complicity of the major media and what goes on with these elites here. Richard Holbrooke, who is a special representative to Afghanistan and Pakistan from the United States. Let's see, who else we got here? Henry Kissinger, we already mentioned. Professor of Economics from Harvard, Neil Ferguson. No relation to Sharon and her family.
That we know about.
That you know about, anyway. Who else? Peter Orszag, Office of the Management and Budget for the United States. Richard Perle, a.k.a. Prince of Darkness from the American Enterprise Institute. Charlie Rose.
Yeah, he's always there.
PBS.
We invite the journalists of the world.
Sure, as long as they don't say anything. You know, rule number one, you don't talk about the Bilderberg Club.
No, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Robert Rubin, CFR, former Secretary of the Treasury. Here's the one I was looking for. Eric Schmidt, CEO, Chairman of the Board, Google. He's all attending. Lawrence Summers, who's director of the National Economic Council for President Obama.
Are you saying Lady Gaga didn't get to attend this year?
No, I'm afraid she didn't. here's another interesting fellow, Peter Thiel, who is an early investor in Facebook, PayPal, and eBay, also co-founder of the Singularity Institute with Dr. Ray Kurzweil.
Why, yes, and the way you get to the Singularity is to link everybody together on the internet and pull them together with money and with games and with, well, politics and Twitter.
Yeah, right. So anyway, some interesting names there in the group. But as we've said before, if you're going to do things in secret, you're not likely to do it by gathering together 300 people from around the world who are so prominent that they can't go out for a hot dog without attracting a media crowd.
They bring the hot dogs in.
Yeah. We don't expect to see Henry Kissinger arrested by the Swiss. This gentleman from the Swiss People's Party, also, by the way, calling for the arrest and prosecution of George W. Bush and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. Don't expect that to happen either. Makes for good headlines, but much ado about nothing, sad to say. There was a story that came up last week that you caught in the news, which hasn't really gotten national attention, and it's really disturbing on a couple of levels. And this is the story out of California of a gentleman from earlier this week who was dragged out of his house at 6 o'clock in the morning by a SWAT team, which it turns out was not sent by his local police department, the California Bureau of Investigations, or the FBI, was not the Bureau of Tobacco and Firearms, was not the Border Patrol or the National Guard, any other government organization that I was aware of that actually had weaponry. This SWAT team was sent by the Department of Education.
Yes.
The Department of Education, the DOE, has SWAT teams.
They started ordering weaponry at least, what was it, in 2007, 2008?
Yeah, a couple of years ago anyway. They said that they were purchasing shotguns to replace old, obsolete weaponry.
And then you started to find out from that article and from, sadly, the situation of this gentleman in California that they have weaponry and they have this, what do they call him? The not the Attorney General.
The Office of Inspector General.
Inspector General, yes. Yeah. Do we not have a Department of Justice?
I think we do.
Do we not have an FBI?
It's called Justice anyway.
Yeah. Are there not government institutions that are given policing activities already?
Yeah.
Why does the DOE need its own police force?
This apparently was part of 2002 legislation passed by the Congress that expanded the ability
of
the DOE.
It's a sneaky Patriot Act thing.
Right, exactly. It was to give the Inspector General of the Department of Education the power to issue warrants related to issues such as bribery, fraud, and embezzlement of federal student aid funds. When this gentleman, who is in Stockton, California, his name is, I had his name here. I'm not going to guess.
Well, it doesn't really matter what his name
was.
It wasn't even his loan.
It was his estranged wife's loan. Neighbors talking to Channel 10 television from the Stockton area said that they thought it related to an unpaid student loan. The Office of Inspector General says, well, no, we don't send out SWAT teams for unpaid student loans.
Well, the gentleman in question thought it had to do with an unpaid student loan.
Right.
Not his estranged wife.
His estranged wife.
And they delayed him for 6 hours, intensely questioning him. They arrived at his home at 6 a.m. He went to the door in his boxers.
Yeah. And they said, you know, going to his door is a nice way of putting it. Essentially, they knocked the door
down.
In.
Yeah.
Dragged him out in his boxer shorts on the front lawn and then took his three children, who are preteen, so very young, and they wound up sitting in the back of a
His family was terrorized for 6 hours over some sort of student loan activity that wasn't even his.
But we're supposed to feel better because the Department of Education's Inspector General's office says, no, this had nothing to do with an unpaid student loan. This is related to an ongoing criminal investigation, and so we cannot comment further on it. But again, as you asked, Why is the Department of Education even investigating a criminal
matter?
Exactly.
Why was this not turned over to the Justice Department or the FBI or some other organization with already, you know, gun-toting powers?
Exactly. And then knocking this guy's door. You'd think that just a simple stakeout for a week or two or even a few days would determine that.
Well, maybe a phone call.
Maybe a phone call. Perhaps asking the neighbors, does Mrs. So-and-so still live at this address? And finding out that she was estranged and not even living at the home.
There are debt collection techniques that don't involve SWAT teams.
Yeah. this is really disturbing. And again, we're not seeing any of this in the major media. This has basically been reported by the local station out there in the Stockton area, Channel 10. And then picked up by some bloggers around the country. And that's how we tumbled onto the story. It is not something you're seeing Fox do. Maybe, who knows, Judge Andrew Napolitano may be talking about this.
He may be. Well, in a related story, we reported a couple of weeks ago about how the state of Indiana, the Supreme Court there said that homeowners could not resist even an illegal entry of their home by the police. Well, apparently, the legislators in Indiana, Lord love them, they're not liking that, and they're not taking it lying down. They have filed an amicus brief, which amicus curiae, friend of the court, brief to the Supreme Court saying, we have legislation in place that says homeowners can resist with even deadly force an invasion of their home. And what do you mean, even an illegal entry of their home by the police? Sorry, but that ain't flying in our state.
Yeah, well, and this is really shocking to us, having lived in Indiana for several years, and you, of course, growing up in Indiana.
It's about as conservative as they come.
Yeah, you're not going to find too many folks there in Indiana agreeing with the ruling of that court. And, you know, this is sheer speculation, but the gentleman who wrote the opinion for the Indiana Supreme Court was the one appointee of Governor Mitch Daniels. And the unpopularity of this particular ruling among conservatives may be, at least in part, the reason that Governor Daniels has decided he's not going to seek the Republican nomination.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that that's overturned, because that is hideous. But sadly, this is the trend that we're seeing in the United States. We are seeing the United States turned into a police state.
I'll take care of that.
Yeah. Sam is busy trying to...
You need some help?
He's trying to... Yeah, trying to get his binky properly arranged so he can get underneath it on his bed over there. And he was having some difficulty with it. So as Judge Napolitano pointed out in a video that we linked to a couple of weeks ago, and by the way, the link to that video is no longer valid. It's been pulled from the web due to copyright infringement.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah, we chose
but
not to play.
But I saw it at a local radio, a local television station. How could it be copyright infringement?
The video that was...
The one I saw. The video of the California gentleman? Sorry, I was
No. The video of Judge Napolitano talking about the transition of the United States, transformation of the United States.
Well, that probably was copyright infringement.
Because somebody just basically clipped the segment from Fox Business Channel and posted it to the internet. Fox obviously did not like that. So if you look for it in our show notes from the show a couple of weeks ago, that link is now dead because it's been pulled by Fox. But his point was that this is not... a unique occurrence. We're seeing the United States transform itself into a total surveillance state, and we, the people, are being sold this bill of goods by politicians telling us that it's for our own safety. It's for our own security that we have to give up our freedom.
Just relax and let the hooks do their work.
Yeah, freedom isn't free, but if at the end of the day you're left with you're living in a state, a nation, in which police can knock down your door without a warrant, and you have no legal right to resist or insist on to fall back on your Fourth Amendment protections, which state that the police need to have a warrant outlining the reasons that they're there and specifically spelling out what they're looking for, and a warrant signed off on by a judge, which is part of the system of checks and balances. You know, if we no longer have those protections, then in what sense are we still free?
Well, you can watch NFL, can't you? You can see
exactly.
Well, maybe.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, have a beer, watch your football, and shut up, Steve.
Yes. Well, you know, back to Indiana. Sadly, there is a missing co-ed from Indiana University in Bloomington, my alma mater. She is, she went missing. Her name, sorry, is Lauren Spierer. And forgive me if mispronouncing her name, S-P-I-E-R-E-R. She went missing at 4:30 a.m. approximately on June 3rd. She never arrived at her apartment. Mm. She was walking toward there, according to a male acquaintance who was the last person to see her. So, sadly, that we just don't know much about her.
Yeah, but we're
and that's not the kind of thing we want to see. And the other thing that was recently in the news regarding Bloomington, Indiana, again, the town I lived in for years. It was the town I was living in when I met Derek online. Supposedly, Bloomington, Indiana is the center of an international pedophile ring.
Well, given that that was where Kinsey did his work, I guess that's not too surprising. His research, it was in large part used to justify the sexual revolution in the United States and the work of... I'm not going to remember the doctor, the woman's name, who did a lot of research into exposing what he was doing. But
I can't recall it either. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. But anyway, the more you read about Kinsey and what he was actually doing, it is really vile and evil stuff. Essentially, the circular logic goes like this: if you desire it, it must be normal, and what is normal is thus good. Yeah. Now,
what it did was make Kinsey feel better about himself.
About his own, twisted desires. As Christians, we start from the premise that none are righteous, no, not one. That the desires of our hearts are inherently pulled to the dark side. That we are, that none of us truly desires good, at least not good in the sense that God, in the way God defines it. And so, as a Christian, we should not assume that just because I want something, that it's necessarily right, that is necessarily good. We struggle against those desires of the heart because we are fallen and separated from God through the original sin of Adam and Eve. And so, you know, we have to depend on the grace extended to us by Jesus Christ to overcome that separation for our salvation. When you look at Kinsey's work, like I said, it begins from the standpoint of whatever you want must be normal or natural, and thus what is natural is normal, and that's just wrong.
Well, here's a little excerpt from the story at The Guardian, and it says that the investigation into this international ring is being run from Bloomington, Indiana, in the American Midwest. 3 years ago, a woman there found a picture of her husband having sex with a girl who was clearly a minor and gave the image to police. They raided a motel room and found the man with a 7-year-old girl.
Oh.
He was arrested, and a huge collection of child pornography was seized. Further raids led to the discovery of a videotape showing Rosser, who played keyboard on John Cougar Mellencamp's 1980 album Nothing Matters and What If It Did, having sex with an underage girl.
Mm.
According to Tony Seidel, the FBI agent running the investigation, Rosser had been traveling between Thailand and the United States smuggling pornography.
Yeah.
Some of the most appalling images were taken in Bloomington itself. Apparently, this is a ring that is called, and please forgive me, I'm trying to read through this article, Teen Boys.
Mm.
And it's supposed to be even worse than the ring that was called Wonderland, even larger.
And the Wonderland raids, there were hundreds of people swept up in that, weren't there?
There were. The thinking is, let me look here. Let's see. Teen Boys, let me go back down to this paragraph, is considered bigger than the notorious Wonderland Club, which was thought to have 200 members in 13 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Members of Wonderland are believed to have exchanged 750,000 sexually explicit images of children via the internet. If there's an image of a child that is sexually explicit, more than likely an adult took it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the children involved in these pictures may have been children who were either neighbors, sadly, or missing. Now, I'm not reading that. I'm saying that.
Mm.
So that's my opinion. Sadly, two very, very disturbing stories that link with my old hometown.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think now. I've interviewed this author once, and we've referred to his work several times. And the pedophocracy is a term that he coined as part of his book on Dave McGowan.
Oh, yes.
Dave McGowan.
Yes.
Who details a number of pedophile rings, including the Wonderland clone.
Maybe trying to bring him back to see if he has done any research into this so-called ring that connects into Bloomington.
Yeah. The disturbing upshot of the research that he did as part of the book, and the name is escaping me now, but the pedophocracy is part of the larger book. I think it's Train to Kill or something like that. Program to Kill, I think, is the name of the book. In most cases,
he's got a book called The Pedophocracy.
Okay. And Dave McGowan is the author. I'll link to this in the show notes at PIDradio.com. You can read portions of it online, I believe. I know I found it online, and that's how I found Dave McGowan. But the upshot of this is that while a lot of people, that there will be periodically rather sensational arrests of people involved in these groups, generally speaking, the most powerful and well-connected, the ones at the tops of these organizations, or the most well-connected participants in these, you know, pedophilic activities, mm-hmm. generally get off scot-free. And in fact, one of the most, and I've talked with William H. Kennedy about this particular case, the Marc Dutroux case in Belgium. He went to prison, but his crimes were so egregious and well-documented that, Dave McGowan has a website, which we'll link to in the show notes. And again, Program to Kill, The Politics of Serial Murder is the book that I interviewed him about, and the pedophocracy makes up the first two chapters.
Do we have a copy of that? We had a PDF.
Yeah. I bought the PDF copy. The Marc Dutroux case in Belgium, his crimes were so egregious and well-documented that they couldn't be covered up. But the sense of the people of Belgium who followed the case was one of outrage that more weren't arrested and prosecuted because of Dutroux's links to well-connected members of high society in Belgium and elsewhere in Europe, so much so that hundreds of thousands of people marched in the government center in Brussels at one point during the height of the case. And Dutroux, spelled D-U-T-R-O-U-X, if you want to look that up on the web. Dutroux, like I said, eventually convicted, I believe, not just of pedophilia, but of murder in his crimes, but just really disgusting and stomach-twisting. And it, maybe that's why I'm having some trouble remembering details, because it's not the kind of thing you want to dwell on for very long.
No, but, it isn't.
It's sadly, again, the bottom line is that there had to be more people involved in that case and in the Wonderland Club case and others that McGowan researched, and painfully few actually wind up in prison over such things. So, children are especially vulnerable.
Children are at risk, very vulnerable.
And there's a spiritual component to this, as in all the stories that we talk about. And that's why we talk about this, not just to create some sort of cottage industry of fear and loathing, us all afraid.
No, the contrary. Actually, we're trying to tell you there are really dark things in the world, and there is a spiritual battle going on. But you know what? The Lord God Almighty is still in control of this world. Believe it or not, he has allowed it to be in the temporary purview of the prince of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And we do mean that in a spiritual way.
Right.
But it's coming to an end. And we are almost there.
And as the Apostle Paul wrote, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So,
and repayment is coming pretty quickly. Judgment is around the corner.
Amen to that. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Well,
another interesting piece by Glenn Greenwald, who I've sent a request for interview, have not heard back yet. I imagine he's a fairly busy guy,
yeah.
But he is a columnist at Salon.com, and he is I give him credit. He is an admitted liberal progressive who was a big supporter of President Barack Obama, but he is a principled individual who isn't playing a partisan game. He's not defending the president in light of a clear abandonment of, let me say it more bluntly. In light of the fact that the president obviously lied to his constituents about what he would do once he became president, he is being just as critical of President Obama as he was of President Bush previously. Conversely, of course, we were just as critical of President Bush previously as we are President Obama.
Exactly. If you're new to PID Radio, you may not know that, but yeah. We attacked Bush on a lot of things.
Right. He's got an interesting piece posted yesterday at Salon.com. Again, I'll link to this in the show notes about how coincidentally, and no doubt the headline is tongue-in-cheek, just coincidentally, Muammar Gaddafi got in the way of American oil interests before we decided he needed killing.
No.
Yes.
Where did that sort of information come from?
Well,
how did we find that out?
He actually cites the Washington Post, believe it or not. Article June 10th of 2011.
Doesn't it go back to WikiLeaks?
And yes, and he says he makes this point that the two key points that he makes at the end of this piece. The only reason that we know about this is because of WikiLeaks disclosing its diplomatic cables to the world through its media partners. Again, we repeat, WikiLeaks didn't publish any of this to the web. It's all been published by the media partners.
Talk about
chosen,
your cottage
like the
industry.
Associated Press and and the Telegraph and the Guardian and Washington and so on and so on and so on. Allegedly, Bradley Manning, he's still not been charged as far as I know.
It's been almost a year. Was it June 15th of last year that he was arrested?
Yeah, and he's still being held in solitary confinement, allowed out of his cell 1 hour a day. Virtually the entirety of the Washington Post article outlining the obstacles that Muammar Gaddafi placed in the way of American oil companies, like wanting bigger bonuses and a bigger share of the profits, comes from the WikiLeaks, the cables released by WikiLeaks. And, of course, secondly, Greenwald's point, is there anyone now, given this information, who still seriously believes that the mission in Libya is humanitarian? No, it's all about the oil. Now, oil is important. We acknowledge that. You're not going to get away from oil with solar cells and wind farms because oil, you know, the shell of this, the case of this computer that I'm looking at right now is basically a petroleum product, plastics.
It's almost all
a lot
petroleum.
Of our medicines. You know, you mm-hmm. need oil. We understand that. We get that. But
well, at least we have become dependent upon
it. Or we become dependent
on it. We don't necessarily need it. But.
Right. So anyway, it's all about the oil and the fact that the rebels apparently are willing to cut a better deal if we'll take out Gaddafi and put them in power. Same.
And then what?
As
boy,
it ever
that,
was.
I was going to say, didn't that happen in Afghanistan?
and speaking of Afghanistan, here's a story.
And Iran.
Yeah. That was the whole reason for getting rid of...
Yes, that's how Shah got in power.
Exactly, yeah. British Petroleum was being cut out of the deal. We should mention the story from Afghanistan. I know our time is running short here, but this is kind of a disturbing story as we talk about...
He's going to bite me.
The rider on the pale horse. A gene that has turned up in relatively common bacteria, and bacteria that we humans typically carry in our gut...
Escherichia coli.
Yeah, E. coli, and also a type of a bacterium that can cause pneumonia in people whose immune systems are suppressed. Mm-hmm. There is a gene called NDM1, which, by the way, some Indian folks are not happy about the name because the ND stands for New Delhi.
Mm-hmm. That's where they was
first discovered. Right.
Ostensibly.
This gene causes these bacterium to release an enzyme that allows these bacteria to essentially denature the most common antibacterials that we use against them. In other words, it makes them super bugs that are impervious to almost any type of antibacterial drug.
It's like armor.
Yeah, and this NDM1 has now been discovered for sure at the Bagram Military Hospital, Bagram, Afghanistan. This is the first time this has turned up in a military hospital.
That is a bad place to have something like this.
Yeah, because you've got a lot of people coming in and out, often dealing with very very terrible injuries caused by improvised explosives or gunshot or whatever. But people who are being transferred then from there to better equipped hospitals in Europe or the United States. So this is a bacterium or a drug resistant bacterium that we don't want to see showing up in our hospitals.
It was only
discovered in 2008. I mean, this is a new development, very recent development, this NDM1 genetic marker.
You and I were talking about this earlier, and I want to do more research on it because the notion that it turned up in India, which is, New Delhi is, it does have its own. Never been there. Mm-hmm. Can only tell you what I have read and what I have, seen on reports from New Delhi. But you wouldn't think that that would be the front line antibiotics, capital of the world.
Yeah,
and that's where we're going to find, something that is this super resistant show up first.
Oh, you're right, because you would assume
you would think it would be in a Western nation.
Drug-resistant bacteria.
Where we use antibiotics like their, sugar pills.
Exactly. Developed somewhere out here. But no, it's turned up in India. And, of course, again, the Indians are kind of offended that we've named it, just like I imagine 100 years ago, the Spanish were kind of mad that we called it the Spanish flu, even though it didn't really begin there. NDM1, something to keep an eye out for in future news stories, because this is something that could be really bad news. You get an infection with an E. coli strain that's possesses this gene. And the disturbing thing about this NDM1 is that E. coli and other bacteria in our gut basically can swap this gene back and forth between them and create a whole series of drug-resistant, antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Not a good thing.
No.
So, anyway, have a nice day.
So, let's see. What do you think the Cubs are going to do?
I don't even want to talk about it. That's even more depressing. Well, I'll tell you.
They're resistant to everything.
Yeah.
Well, honey.
Run resistant.
Always
that's the problem.
Yes, they are.
Well, coming up in July, we've got a series of conferences and presentations on emerging threats that you do want to be prepared for and aware of. Again, while we're not preaching a spirit of fear, because we know that the Lord has all this in control, He has seen all of this beforehand and provided for us the lifeboat, if you will, for this Titanic on which we're riding. The Future Congress on Emerging Threats and Challenges 2011, July 22nd through the 24th in Branson, Missouri. Featured speakers are awesome. Chuck Missler, Tom Anita Horn, Terry James, Chris Pinto, Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio Ministries. Workshops by the likes of Dr. Future and Tom Bionic, Michael Bennett and Mike Tater Jr., Rob Skiba, Doc Marquis, Chris Putnam of Logos Apologia.
Oh, yeah. Russ Dizdar.
Yes. Just an amazing, amazing series of workshops and speakers. And many of those will result in being there with those guests will result in many interviews to come on PID Radio and A View from the Bunker. So we're looking forward to that. And if you need more information on how you can attend, to learn more about it, futurecongress.com is the website.
It is. And be sure to go there quickly because the spots are filling up.
Yes. So we'll look for you there. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.